Committee on Rules for March 19th, 2009. We do not have a quorum, but we can actually conduct a public hearing without a quorum. We have a subcommittee of the committee. I'm going to actually open and close a public hearing on SB 30. We have just released the composite amendment on SB 30, and we'll be holding a full public hearing on it tomorrow at 1 o'clock. But the amendment has just arrived, literally. So I'm going to open a public hearing on SB 30. We do not have anybody signed up for SB 30. There will be a public hearing on it tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
So you didn't need me to be here?
For that. I need you for the other one.
Well, I don't feel the love on this other one. I don't feel any love at all.
Oh, well, maybe we'll change that. We'll open a public hearing on SB 378. Ms. Pollock, will you please come forward? And oh, yes. Will the staff please give a brief summary?
Senate Bill 378 would restrict Senate confirmation for the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee to those members appointed by the governor. We have statements from fiscal and revenue stating no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Okay.
Turning off my cell phone, sorry. For the record, Senator Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Sasha Pollock. I work for Senate President Peter Courtney. He is apologetic that he cannot be here in person this morning, but he has sent a written testimony, which you are receiving right now, related to the bill. Senate Bill 378 arises from a legislative council opinion, which we were given last year, which states that there were confusing, conflicting statutes related to the Senate confirmation of members to the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Committee appointed by members of the legislature. The Constitution and other statutes state that Senate confirmation is only, the Senate can confirm only executive appointments, not legislative appointments. So this is just a clarifying clarifying bill to make sure that that is all clear in statute. The Senate President, along with other members of the legislature, in this case the House Minority and Senate Minority Leaders, have appointments to a variety of boards and commissions. The Senate President actually has 60 boards and commissions at this point in time that are active that he appoints members of the legislature and public members to, and this is the only one that requires Senate confirmation of those appointments. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much for coming here today. Is that Cote? C-O-T-E?
Cody.
Cody. Is Ms. Cody, would you please come forward, identify yourself for the record, and
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Meredith Cote, and I am the State Long-Term Care Ombudsman, the Director of the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. And I'm not here to oppose Senate Bill 378, but I am here to ask for your consideration of a matter related to the bill. The Long-Term Care Advisory Committee monitors the Long-Term Care Ombudsman program, and they also play a lead role in the hiring of the state Long-Term Care Ombudsman. And one of the things when I looked at the statute and around the appointment of the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee is that all of the criteria for consideration of who would be appropriate for the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee are not included in state statute. The Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman carries both a federal mandate under the Older Americans Act, so there is actually federal law that governs the program, and there is a state enabling statute, which is a portion of which is before the committee today. And one of the things that the federal law is very, very clear about is that there shall not be conflict of interest in the program. And specifically as it relates to the advisory committee, the federal Older Americans Act states that there should not be the conflict of interest for anyone involved in the appointment of the state ombudsman. So I guess why I'm here today is for you perhaps to consider whether it might be appropriate to bring language related to conflict of interest. And what that means for the ombudsman program is having any financial or fiduciary relationship to a long-term care facility or any involvement in the licensing and certification of long-term care facilities. And I'm asking you today to see whether you, whether the committee would consider having conflict of interest language, bringing that from the federal law into the state law to provide more information and guidance to those who are making appointments to the Long-Term Care Advisory Committee. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have, and I've included the relevant portions of the Federal Older Americans Act with the testimony here today. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question for Sasha.
Yes. Sasha, would you, Ms. Pollack, would you please
Thank
come
you.
Forward?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pollack, did the... Did this issue that's being brought by Ms. Cote, if I'm not mispronouncing that.
You're absolutely right on.
get discussed with the, is that the reference that I see in the President's letter? I understand there's a suggestion of an amendment. I'm neutral on the amendment. Was there a discussion?
Senator Devlin, Senator Farioli, yes. Ms. Cote and I discussed this actually in the last couple of days, and while we are, while Senator Courtney's neutral on that, I think we don't, his office doesn't have a problem with introducing language like that. There was a question, I think, about kind of any conflict between having federal language in there versus state language, and I can't speak to that, but obviously we have folks in the building who can.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I think our our intent at this time would probably be we will take a look at the conflict of interest language, consult legislative counsel to see if there is a problem relative to putting in the federal language into statute. Obviously, there is conflict of interest language, which is far more general in state statute, and then schedule the meeting for a future work session.
Senator Devlin, if I could just say one thing. As offices switch and folks come in and out of these roles as Speaker, President, Minority Leader in the House and Senate, it is helpful to have some direction in terms of there are so many of these appointments. It is helpful sometimes to have direction on who can and can't be considered for these positions.
Okay. Any additional questions? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Any additional comments from the committee? I'll close the public hearing, and we will look into potential amendments. And before Senator Farioli was here and Senator Burdick was here, I opened and closed the eighth hearing on SB 30.
I heard, Mr. Chair, they were buzzing about it out in the hall.
Yes, but there will be a hearing tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And with that, our business for today concludes.
I'm talking to John Blanchard, John, this morning.
Uh-huh.